Hi, everybody. It's not for nothing. I forgot I was doing the intro this time.
Jesus Christ. Hello, and welcome to Not For Nothing with your hosts, Chris and Chris.
We're back together, finally.
Together, but not together, because I'm fucking still stuck in the moon, between the moon and New York City.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Mm. Someday I won't be in the city, and I won't be calling from my phone, and the podcast will sound good again. But for now,
no.
This is what you get. I'm on the 30th floor overlooking the piers of the East River, and there's the butts and booties are out. Mm-hmm. Like, people are laying on grass.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot that New Yorkers do this, that they just get naked in public to get sun.
Yeah. They also go day drinking, I found, over the weekend. I forgot about sort of as soon as this warm weather, everyone just finds a place where they can go outside and drink. Like, it's at bars, but now all the outdoor places. And my wife and I went for a early dinner, of course, because we're retirees now.
Was this on Saturday?
This was on I think this was Saturday. Might have been Sunday. Yeah. We could barely get into our place. I think you've been to that place, Leando, which is right around the corner from us.
I love that place. Are you kidding me?
I couldn't even get into that place, hardly into that place, because it was so packed, and it was 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
What is your take on how long somebody can stay at a table? Is there a limit? As long as they're buying things.
Yeah, as long as they're buying things.
So you don't think that because a place is busy, you should have to
give up your seat?
Give up your seat eventually.
Only if you're not so we got two. It was right on the front windows, next to the front door. So you look out in the street. There's two bar stools, tiny little strip of a. It's not even a table, right? It's just the little. Whatever slab of wood that's up underneath the window kind of thing.
Yeah, it's not a real seat, but no. It's kind of fun because you get to people watch.
Yeah, it's fun though, right? And literally the hostess lady probably looked at us and kind of did one of those looked over our shoulder and was just oh, where are they at in their process here? Mm-hmm. And she probably did it 4 or 5 times. And after the third time, my wife was I think she's trying to want to see if maybe we should get out of here or something. And I was but we still have food coming. So she had no idea where we were though, but she's just trying to assess it. But I think it made my wife feel they're really trying to get us out of there. And it was kind of annoying her. But to answer your question, as long as you're ordering in one more, then she cleared the table for us. And then she was do you guys want another round? And we were no, it's fine. We did some day drinking ourselves. We were no, we just had the one and a little bite to eat. And we're we're good. We're ready to get out of here and stuff. She's oh, okay, great. So I think as long as you're ordering drinks though, and not just sitting there chit-chatting.
Okay. You think that the chit-chat.
If you're milking that table, just sitting there. Yeah.
It's time to go.
Or if you do, I think I've even seen people who don't get the check right away and they just sit there because they want to sit there for a while and hang out, but they don't really want to get something else to eat or drink.
And that drives me crazy.
That's BS.
We had a dinner. I'm asking because I'm with you. I feel the pressure I feel the pressure from the server or whoever or the wait staff pretty much immediately. I feel if you say no to dessert, you're officially on the clock.
Sure.
But
it's up to them to get you the check then too.
It comes from a Dutch world, and they have this thing called natafel. And natafel is where you sit at the table for fucking ever. It's literally a word means tabling.
Interesting.
So you just sit there. You just sit and chat no matter what. I'm I cannot drink more water. I can't be here any longer. And so when I'm at home or if it's at someone's house, it's easy. I just start clearing the table. I'm like, I got to at least stand up. And then I'm the wait staff. So I'm very aware of it. But like at dinner the other night, we were with another couple and we were dragging our feet, right? Like kind of purposely, like we were really stretching it into like a 2-hour dinner. Okay. And there weren't people waiting.
Sure.
But they basically cleared everything but the candle to get us the fuck out of there, right?
They are definitely giving you signs.
Yeah. But we had had...
But that's...
Like 2 bottles of wine, cocktails, porterhouse steak. Like we... It's not like it was a... Like we'd earned our 2 hours.
Exactly. Right? I was just going to say that. You earned the right, I think, to kind of linger there if you wanted to a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a busy Saturday night. It's
sure. But fun. Like you said, there's no one waiting. It's not like there's, you know, you were the only table that they could have, you know, or they needed, I assume.
I know, but who knows? You know, they might have had a reservation.
But that's also like, I feel like
I
that's
don't
very
get in the way of the oil machine. I guess my point is just like, I'm always on the side of the wait staff, even when it feels a little pushy.
Sure. I think I am too. I think also in, especially in this city or this tri-state area, you know, there's a little more urgency, I think.
Well, definitely in like New York, Brooklyn, for sure.
Right,
like,
right.
And that's actually one of my biggest issues is like in the suburbs, there isn't that urgency, yeah, you know?
Right.
And so it's like I've been to a restaurant where it's like, we have like an 8 o'clock or 8:30 reservation. And they're like, oh, the table's just finishing up dessert. And I'm like, finishing dessert? Like they're supposed to be gone. My table's supposed to be here. Like,
yeah.
What are you talking about?
Ready to go, set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This isn't like a, oh, in case strangers are at your table still. Like, this is right. Not my problem. Right. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like
you
that. I feel like that's
you
very...
You can sit at the bar, and I'm like, fuck. Like, you know what I mean? But in New York, like, that, they'd be like, yeah, here's your reservation. Get the fuck.
Yeah, you gotta go. Yeah. We have another reservation in, like, an hour and a half. You need to be done. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you time it out. It's the bear. You've seen the bear.
Right? I think it's... I feel like it's also very... that's a very your thing you just described is a very New Jersey thing where they're more suburby. They shouldn't be pushing and shoving people into having that kind of an attitude, yet that's very much what they do, and they just sort of ride the coattails of sort of the New York vibe.
They're riding the coattails of the New York vibe, but they want to be like a town and be everyone wants to fucking know the guy,
right?
Like everyone wants to know the guy. There's like they want the New York attitude, but with like the hometown familiarity.
Yes, exactly.
And it's bullshit.
It's
total
stupid.
Bullshit. Everybody in fucking New Jersey knows the guy that knows the guy. And fucking everyone knows how to get something done faster. And every time you walk into a fucking place, they, you know,
yeah.
Hello, old book and blah, blah, blah. And you can get caught up in that, but it's like definitely like, it kind of slows down progress. Sure, it helps you out maybe if you pretend you know a fucking pizza guy or whatever.
Sure.
But like,
So there's a little wine
I'm
bar.
With you.
There's a little wine bar in our neighborhood just right around the corner from us. Love it. It's a little French place. Love the guy who owns the place. He's kind of he's from France. A little bit of an older guy. He's a bit of a kook. Real kind of weird but funny. Sometimes I can't even understand what he's saying. But we've gotten to know him, and like we know his name, and he kind of knows ours, but he knows us by sight and stuff. And I even see him on the street, and so we'll say hi to each other. We went there last week, we went out one night, different night. We went there, he wasn't there, but his partner was there. We don't really know his partner. I think he might kind of recognize us who we are, but we're not sure. He's also kind of an asshole. So we never really put the time or effort into kind of getting to know him.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, like, I walked in and there was 2 women who got in the door just before me, and they were packed. It was a Friday night. They were packed. And the guy was told the girls, he was like, it's probably a half hour, 45 minute wait. And then he looked at me, he's like, oh, he's like, are you with them? And I was like, no. I was like, I need a table for 2 as well. But I was like, I'm waiting for my wife or whatever. And he's like, okay. Yeah. He's like, it's going to be a while and stuff. And I was like, all right. He's like, you want me to call you or something? You know, you put your name down and your number, I'll call you. And I was like, nah, it's fine. We'll go somewhere else or whatever and stuff. And so I walked outside, waited for my wife. The two women walked out and they were like, they went somewhere else or whatever. So we were standing there. Wife shows up. We start talking for a few minutes and the guy comes out and he's like, hey, he's like, you still want a table? And I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, we were trying to figure out somewhere else to go maybe, but yeah. Like what's the wait or something? He's like, 15, maybe 20 minutes. He's like, I'll get you into a table. And I was like, oh,
Look at you, bag of donuts.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, great. You know, I totally wasn't expecting it. Wasn't assuming that, like, you know. But I'm not even sure. Like, maybe he just, maybe like a table started opening up.
Might have lucked out. Maybe he didn't know you unless you had Aunt, because you guys are like.
Maybe.
You know, your height, the difference is so drastic, it's obvious. Yeah. Like, those people.
Yeah, totally. It might have been.
Pretty cool. I got really lucky, though. This would wrap this up. I went to a comedy show, and apparently they oversell comedy shows now.
Yeah.
So that there's standing room.
Oh, Jesus.
And I walked in, like, at door, basically, like, I guess a couple, like, 15 minutes after doors. Not a seat in the entire place. This is like the Bell House. Like, it's big, you know?
Yeah.
And,
bullshit.
And I like made eye contact with a security guard. I was like, oh shit, is this CSS? And the guy, I think just the familiarity of the eye contact, he was like, you guys come over here. There's handicap, but no one's going to sit in here. It's a taping. So just sit in these seats. And I was like, the fuck?
Right?
I couldn't believe it. I was like, that's the one time. That's my only good luck. I'm never getting that luck again. So especially not, you know, like I would like, let's say I had a friend who worked at, like, I don't know, the Brooklyn Academy of Music, say, and there was like the WNBA draft. And, you know, this is a person who you literally got into the production world, gave him his first job and helped him get his job at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. Mm-hmm. You would think
hypothetical situation.
That would be the person that would get you a seat.
Yeah.
A free event that he told you about on the low before the contract was even signed. You would think that would be the most, but no, it was a random guy at a comedy show. You know, you take what you can get. You take what you can get.
I read something about it actually that they feel like it should have been a ticket event now for some reason. Like, I don't know if there were so many riffraffs or something. There was a huge line outside.
Well, it was ticketed.
Well, I don't understand that one then, because it was
people probably thought they could walk up.
Yeah, maybe so.
A riffraff. I mean, I don't know. We could have. If only I knew somebody that worked at.
Yeah.
That
see, we could talk have all these
about this.
We could have all these questions answered then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
Yeah.
There's not a person who I gave their first job in production to, and then literally called the director of the company so that he could get hired there. If only there was that. If only I had something like
only.
That.
Yeah.
To talk to about.
You know what? I think this all comes down to it. It's just nice to have. Connections, you know, just
if only I had some connections,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, you could,
if only that,
yeah, you could, that's all this world's about anymore, Chris, is connections, you know,
yeah. Well,
if you can't use those connections, then you know, what's you know, what good are friends, I guess.
I know, what good are friends, friends. All that is to be said that the WNBA draft happened yesterday, Chris, did it not?
It did. It went off. And it was amazing.
Did you watch it?
I watched it.
The event itself
bit.
Was gorgeous.
Huh?
It was a gorgeous event. And it was perfectly executed.
Yeah. I mean, it was a huge step up from the past iterations of like sort of lame cocktail party vibe to it.
Yeah. And you know, what I really liked was like they had done a good job of not having like every player there like awkwardly. Like there wasn't too many players that had to stay into the second round that were there.
Well, and some of those players were just there, I think, to support other people. And
and the coaches were all there,
right.
And it felt, but it moved along nicely. And then did you see like they do, if they didn't have a player there, they would just do like a 5-player block. They would just know who those teams drafted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they'd be like, and 19 through 24, and he'd say, and with the 19th pick, he'd still say like, Rugo would still say all the names, still give them the respect that they deserved. But they didn't make the stupid lady come out and be like, be-de-do-boo-boo, and the next player is someone who isn't here, and no one claps. You know, they were just like hammered it out, and then they would go to a pick where somebody was in the audience.
Yeah, that's
it was
nice.
Like, I was like, this is like, it was great. It was.
I mean, it was a stunning visually too. Like it just shows you like
gorgeous.
What a stage.
Yeah.
You know, and some lighting can do for an event like that.
Yeah. And it just looked pro.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, like, this is just another example of Caitlin Clark elevating the game. Like, say what you will about her. Like, this happens because of her influence on, like, the draft. Yeah. And, like, the timing couldn't be better. Like, you know, like, it's immediately after the women's final. And we're going to go a month. The season starts in a month.
Yeah.
Like, this is like lightning in a bottle. Like, this is like, it could be more like, my wife sat and watched, like, I'd say probably the Liberty pick through maybe the second round just to watch it. Cause she was like, oh, who's that? She's pretty. Oh, look mm-hmm. at what's her story. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it was she would never watch an NBA draft. I don't even think I'd watch an NBA draft.
Yeah. I mean, I watched the first couple picks and then I took the dog for a walk. And I got back and my wife was still watching it. And I was like, you're still watching this? I was like, you don't have to. And she was like, as soon as I walked in the door, she's like, Angel Reese went to like Chicago or something. I was like, wait, what? I was like,
I was like, oh, so Seattle's first pick. I was like, okay, so they've got this player, Julie. She's very exciting. It'll be fun to see like who they choose. And then when they chose what's her face from UConn, mm-hmm. you know, Kristen's like, oh, she's cute. And I'm like, yeah, it's probably gonna be like the cutest backcourt in basketball. And you could say that and not be gross because she said at first that what didn't feel like I was like being exploitative. I was just like, yeah, my wife thinks these guys are cute, so that's like kind of fun part of it too.
I also someone else pointed out too. I thought it was nice to see the women actually get all dressed up and not just have some like wear some like sort of pantsuit ensemble. Which was apparently the rule for years.
Oh, was?
Yeah, like they couldn't wear too flashy or something. There was something weird, obscure.
That's fucking stern. Probably didn't want them to wear like anything that showed that they were women.
Yeah, well, yeah, something like that, I guess. I don't know. It's just fucking ridiculous. And
maybe they were just like, well, Paula Poundstone told us that this is how all lesbians dress. So here you go. Here's your suit.
Yeah, it's already pre-fitted.
You're wearing the Paula Poundstone collection from Kohl's. We are?
It's a sponsor. That's their sponsor.
Caitlin Clark wears a Prada suit, right?
Yeah.
And top. Incredible. And then Business Insider decides to run a story that's 22% of the salary she'll be making next year. And I'm like, would you do this to a fucking guy? Like it's just embarrassing.
No.
It's embarrassing clickbait bullshit non-stories. And like, this is the uphill battle.
Also, she didn't pay for that fucking suit, I'll guarantee you.
Of course not.
Right?
Of course not.
Yeah. So it's not
like
maybe
Prada leaks the story so the Business Insider like puts it out there. I don't know how any of that shit works.
Maybe.
But it's just like the narrative is gross.
That's so stupid.
Regardless, Caitlin Clark is going to the worst team in the WNBA. And I don't think that I can't remember her name from Ohio State was that thrilled to be playing with her. The other pick that Indiana took, I can't remember her name. Why is it escaping me?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not like.
Well, I just thought that was an interesting. It was an interesting pick. I didn't feel like she was like all that thrilled.
Oh, was she there? I didn't see that part of it.
Yeah, she was there. And of course, the question was like, "You've been guarding Caitlin Clark in the Big Ten for years. You must be relieved to be now. You don't have to anymore." And I'm like, I don't think that's what she's thinking.
Yeah,
and this is a girl. This is a person who had. Started, she'd been at three different schools. Like she was definitely angling to be a top pick. And like dropped to the second round.
Yeah, Celeste Taylor. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that Celeste Taylor was disappointed to be a second round pick. And
she's also backing up Caitlin Clark now then.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like, and after transferring twice in college to like be in a better position, you know, like I just felt like it was pretty disappointing. Meanwhile, that horrific monster, Brianna Maxwell, from Gonzaga, no showed, and she got picked two spots above her. I couldn't believe it.
Didn't make any sense to me. Yeah, it's always interesting to see like when you because I always like read. I read all like sort of like there's mock drafts or whatever player predictions where they're going to get placed or something or they do profiles on some of the players, which is really hard to find actually. But some places
really
do
hard
it.
To find.
But you know they it's like after like five picks, it's wildly all over the place.
Well, wouldn't it be funny if the Ringer, if Bill Simmons would stop pretending like he's a women's basketball fan and actually have a women's basketball writer on his staff?
Thinking the same thing.
They could do draft previews.
It would be amazing.
They could have a podcast. Oh, instead of just white guys, maybe he could have, you know,
yeah.
And white guys in Van Latham, like maybe he could have a woman, you know, maybe a woman of color,
especially from
another nationality.
With the way the tournament was going.
No one to write about it.
Yeah, couldn't you just be like, hey, we need some people like on this right now. This is hot. This is blowing up.
They're like, no, we need nine guys from Kentucky to be writing about the men's tournament.
Yeah,
we need H. Paul Anderson and Kyle and fucking nephew Dave and whoever the fuck. And don't worry,
but not
the
just them.
Will be here.
Not just them though. Like, I mean, everybody too. Like, right? I thought there would be a lot more sort of, you know, coverage or sort of
nothing.
Yeah, nothing. There was nothing.
It's not worth it. It's not worth their time. It's not worth the cost of giving somebody $40,000 a year to work 80 hours a week.
You could just have like some of your already people there. At least, you know, I know he still has a few women writers. Like somebody just like, hey, let's throw this together here in preparation for the NBA, WNBA draft.
Right. Enough about. So I will say this. Benmo. You remember Benmo?
Of course I do.
Okay. Benmo, the great Benmo, I was listening to Joe House and Bill Simmons talk about the Masters or whatever, but for some reason they went off on like a how to fix the WNBA tirade.
Oh.
And I was like, I can't handle this. I wrote that to Benmo, and Benmo was like, I think don't take this the wrong way, but I think you're being a little gatekeepery. Those weren't his exact words, but it kind of was. He was like, you need to loosen the grip on the WNBA. Like, other people can watch it now. And I don't think he's wrong, but I also don't need Bill Simmons' fucking stupid college friend explaining why the WNBA, how he's going to fix it and what it needs, you know? So I'm in a bit of a I'm trying to be more open minded and let everybody in and stop trying to be as like, this is mine. You don't understand.
You honestly should be. I mean, like there shouldn't be any gatekeeping on this bullshit.
I agree. I'm going to loosen my grip.
Okay. Yeah. And the more eyes and viewership and fans, the better.
The Aces are the first WNBA team to sell out season tickets.
Yes.
That's exciting.
That's super exciting.
Stadium is no Barclays Center, but boy, that's neither here nor there.
Well, I mean, but still.
It's still impressive. It's
still very impressive. You know what? Honestly, I really liked what they did in the draft, too.
I know. It's a little disappointing. I did, too. And they got Martin too. I think that's
I don't know if she's actually.
I think she could be. I think she could be a little Conley. I think she could be a little Mike Conley. No one thought Mike Conley was shit.
Yeah,
because they decided because he played with Greg Oden.
True.
And as it turns out, he was it's like position wise. It's like I feel like there's. I think she's somebody who steps up, probably an average player on any other team that steps up in the spotlight in those conditions. Has like kind of, there's got to be some muscle memory to like, I can play with these guys. Like, you know, her speech after getting drafted, she was like, this is just the foot in the door. This is the opportunity, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
I think that was maybe a kind of a sneaky good pickup for them.
Yeah. I think a lot of these teams, the better teams like the Liberty and the Aces and, who already sort of have stacked rosters. So you just sort of take a shot in the dark on some of these things and you kind of go a little maybe more for fit or sort of maybe you see something like, yeah, she can be like, and I think actually what you're saying there is with Mike Conley is probably, is a good kind of an analysis there because like she can kind of become maybe, you know, she's not really a shooting guard. She's not a point guard.
She's an impact player maybe.
Right. But she kind of just, she can probably run an offense. You're not expecting a whole lot. She's just kind of a steady hand or something to bring off the bench or something like that. Who can also shoot from the outside. Replaces
Kelsey Plum, right? She's not
replacing Kelsey Plum, but.
I know. I mean, off the bench.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. I mean, kind of give them. The other one too is the Daisha Fair. I don't know if you realize this or knew this, but she's third all time in scoring now in the NCAA.
Really?
Yeah. So Caitlin Clark was getting all this publicity. Cuse? Yeah, Cuse. she's third all time now, and this was her final season as well. Like, so she's 5'5", so that's the only thing, is like, she's 5'5", but she's a scoring machine, and she's incredible. I mean, she's like, and the Aces, of course, are the ones that like drafted her and was like, yeah, we'll give you a shot here, because of course, like, Becky Hammon or whatever was like, yeah, well, I can make it work with you.
So can we talk about the Liberty really quickly?
Absolutely.
Then? So the thinking on them was that it was going to be that they needed another guard because Vandersloot's 1 million years old, and it was going to be like Nika Mühl, right?
Yeah.
But then they pass on her.
Yeah.
And go for Markeisha Davis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who I don't know anything about. So if maybe you don't either, but like I don't really care.
Yeah.
But I do think like this another year of Vandersloot and no other option. It's worrisome. And also like Johannes isn't on the roster right now. And I don't know if that's because she's on the France team. She's not listed on another team's roster, but are they not bringing her back?
There might be some questions about, because with the Olympics this year, there's always question about her, like she plays in the French season or
she
whatever.
She plays in the French season, right. She plays in I can't remember what the name of the MBL or something like that.
Yeah, whatever it's called.
So usually she comes into the season like two weeks after the season has started.
Right.
Because she's busy winning MVPs.
Right, exactly. So there might be some questions about like if she's eligible to play or whatnot and blah, blah, blah.
Well, so I don't mean to interrupt, but like, so what am I supposed to take away from the Liberty draft was confounding. I like their second round pick, but I don't know what to think of the first round pick.
Yeah. I think they, you know, it's sort of interesting because they also like, I think the last two picks it was like two centers or like a power forward and a center.
Well, Jessica Carter, who's great. Like there's your Stephanie Dotson replacement. Thank fucking God. Right. Like plug her in right away. Like we've got a plug and play backup center. Like that to me was like a great pick, but I don't like,
so the one thing I read about Markeisha Davis is that potentially people kind of akin, you know, sort of of like Benaja Laney, who's already on the team. So yeah. She's sort of that small forward kind of role who plays, I think, really good defense. And also like Kalia Copper.
Yeah.
The Chicago Sky player. So like those, I'm like, if you're comparing
defense,
those,
then.
Yeah, defense, like defense, first. But you can still get some offense out of her and stuff and everything. It, to me, it just was like, hey, listen, they're just taking the best player possible, which, you know, I sort of respect that. But then after you get into like the next three ones, you're taking all big position players. And it's like, all right, now you could have maybe kind of reached or gone for some one of these guards or something like that.
Yeah. Too.
Yeah, it's a little strange, but I will say they did. I think they did. They signed some free agents. I can't think of her name. I think her name is Jokic or something.
I was just looking at their roster last night, but I because like to your point, there's no way to like quickly look or research any WNBA player.
Yeah.
You literally have to like copy and paste their names and then do the research yourself because there isn't a website that like functions like every other male sport.
Yeah.
So it's a little tricky.
So there's Ivana Dokic.
Okay.
She was a backup player. I think, I don't know if she's Croatian or wherever she's from. But she was on the Storm last year and she actually played really well. And I don't know if she's like a true point guard, but she can shoot. And she was really good, but they had to cut her for whatever reasons. And I think she wanted more playing time. So maybe it was like a mutual decision that like it wasn't working out. She wanted to play more and stuff. And then I think she went back to like Europe or something and played, but she was really good for them for a while. And I think they feel like they might have gotten her as like sort of a backup to Vandersloot, who's an actual legitimate established WNBA player.
I can't believe Vandersloot's fucking lacing him up again. I don't know. I know.
The other
I'm
one I like too is
about this team.
Is I don't think they draft her, but I saw that it was Jalen Sherrod, who's like a guard out of Colorado. Who I think was pretty good. Who was like, I don't know if she was the Pac-12 player of the year, but she was up there. Like she was a really good player. And I don't know if she went undrafted or if they just signed her or whatever as a free agent here now. But like I think they're taking some shots to see what pans out. At this point, that's all you can kind of do too, because there wasn't much else to choose from.
So if you were to give your draft grades, who had the best draft?
I mean, Chicago and LA, because they had both had two really good, you know, double picks.
Yeah.
Chicago I'm a little worried about, because I don't know, like, if Cardoso and Reese can...
Angel?
Yeah, can play with each other, next to each other. I
think they can. I think they're going to be so... You're probably right. They look at all the freedom they have. They could just lose for a season.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. I guess they could do that. But, yeah, I mean, it's... Because to me, it's like they're... While the WNBA is not as, like, floor spacey as the NBA is, like, and you can still use probably two, you know, post-up players, like, it might create a little bit of a mess there, though, too. Like, I think what we've seen with the Liberty we're kind of doing for a while last year.
Right.
I'm not sure if it's a great fit, but again, they just went with, like, they took the two best players they could. And I think right. That's kind of what you have to do. I loved what the Aces did.
The Aces looked great. They get, I kind of like what, I think that Atlanta took some chances on some players.
You know what? Yeah, I think they're all foreigners, right? Who might not be playing this year.
Yeah.
But they're all like super potential.
It's like it's the Australian, it's the Australian All-Star team.
Yeah. I kind of like what they did, though, because it was like, all right, spots are at a premium at this point. So
I agreed.
If you
take three players that are foreign players that you can stash.
Yeah.
It's very Brian Colangelo, but this team kind of is the Sixers. They did get forced into selling. They're basically run by the league. So it makes sense that they have Brian Colangelo running the team. I also think that, I mean, obviously Cameron Brink's going to be a superstar and fucking in on the Sparks. If she's good, I'm not sure. But she's definitely going to sell jerseys.
She's definitely going to sell jerseys.
California girl.
Yeah.
Stays in California. Yeah. Like, it could not be a better scenario situation for her.
Yeah.
She's just going to be, she's already like a New Balance athlete. She's, you know, her Instagram is the most looked at Instagram by WNBA pervs, like my friend John. you know, I think it's a good draft in that regard. Like, I think they also took somebody from SC. Like, they got like some local flavor, which I think is like a good move for a Los Angeles team that doesn't really have an identity right now.
Yeah, and the Rekia Jackson, I think, might be.
Oh, she's gonna be good.
The best pick in the draft.
She might be the steal of the draft, right? Yeah. I think that could be true. Yeah. So, and then lastly, I just wanted to find out your thoughts, because this has been just all WNBA. Your thoughts on the Seattle Storm and their pick of Sue Tu, as I've been calling her.
Sue Tu. you know what? I think they did as good as they could have done with what they were kind of at with their draft picks.
They're going to be such a
I was kind of hoping
the Liberty of last year, right? Like, they're like,
yeah. Right.
One take is like, how could these players, all these good players, play together and be successful? Which is, you know, one side of the coin, and the other side is like, how can they not?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you have to be that stacked now, because like the WNBA just doesn't have enough teams for you to get by with one or two good players. You just have to be, you have to have a great starting four or five, right? Mm-hmm. At least a good starting four.
Mm-hmm. And a good guard,
and then have a real bench.
Yeah, and I think that's what
I think they do now.
I think they do now, and the third round pick, Mackenzie Holmes, who was like a power forward from Indiana, who's like pretty talented. I think she would have gone a lot higher if she wasn't injured, because she'll be out the whole season. But they can just keep her, I think, on IR or whatever for a year, and then bring her in for 2025 and have her healthy. And that might be a huge pickup for them too, then, at that point. So I like how they're sort of like, they take a shot with like the Connecticut woman mule, who like may or may not be good enough to be, or she could probably just be a backup, play some good defense, and she can shoot like 40% from threes. So it's like,
you mean like a perfect replacement for Courtney Vandersteen?
I was hoping they would. I wanted them to take the Charisma Osborne from UCLA, because for some reason I love UCLA point guards usually that come out in the draft. I can't think of her other name, but she was a couple years ago with Seattle too. And then she went to LA last year, and then I think they just traded her to Phoenix or whatever. But I think they picked really good players for what the position. And you know, plus you got to include like you know who they got for trading away the fourth overall pick.
Yeah. Which is hard.
You know, and yeah. Unfortunately, though, like I sat there and watched, I was like, oh, God, number four, and it's Rekia Jackson. I was like, she would have been great in Seattle. But I know.
But like her, whatever. Yeah, it would be like her and Jewel like playing together. Yeah. Just like,
would have been kind of awesome.
Would have been kind of amazing. I know. This is, again, it's kind of funny because like the men's basketball tournament, the men's college and the women's college, like the women's college tournament was obviously much better, got more viewership,
yeah.
More people talking about it, more buzz. This draft is going to have way more buzz. And I know the NBA draft is a long time out, but like there's no one's excited about any of those players. No one's having the conversation. Like, I mean, if we wouldn't have traded away, it's like our fourth pick for a superstar that we might've had this other superstar, potential superstar. That's not happening in the next NBA draft.
I was just looking at who like was going to be number one overall. I think on the Ringers side
it's
or something.
It's that turd from the fucking UConn now.
Is it? Oh God.
I think so.
No, that was like isn't some like, foreign guy. And I was like, I haven't heard of any.
Oh
of these
no,
people.
No. I don't. I think they've replaced him with fucking Klingon.
Oh Jesus.
I know, dude.
I don't understand why people are so infatuated with 7 foot white guys.
It's crazy.
Who
it's
don't, who that, aren't,
that's,
who,
that's the no, current number one guy.
He looked awful.
I know.
I don't like. I don't understand.
And then there's Edie. Like it's just. It's like whoa. It's gonna be. It's. I mean. It's the Bennett. It's the. What's his name?
Yeah,
Anthony Bennett.
Yeah. It's that draft.
It's looking like it. Like Oladipo is like your best option. You know.
Yes, man.
So. Which it doesn't make me sad at all. I don't give a shit. Six.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
pick.
Sure. Yeah, actually, you know what? Because it was the Nets have to give up their draft pick to Houston, and then I think it's going to be number 9 or 10 overall if it kind of holds true or whatever. And then I kind of started looking at the whole thing. I was like, oh, you know what? That's not that upsetting because it's a really shitty draft. So who cares if you're drafting this year? So
yeah,
it's kind of like I was almost
pick.
Like, oh, is that kind of smart of them? Like, did they kind of like know this?
Everyone's every GM that's trying to save that no one's ever heard of from France.
Yeah,
and be like, yeah, we're taking a chance on.
It's all they're all
this
gonna
other French guy.
They're all gonna Atlanta dream it.
So you can't boo us. Yeah. Exactly. So anyway, so the NBA playoffs are about to start.
Yep.
I hate the play-in. It's the stupidest thing in the whole world. If it was just 1 through 8 right now, we would be fine. You could lose a shitty Warriors team, a shitty Kings team, a shitty Hawks team, and a shitty fucking whatever, Chicago team. But no, we have a play-in tournament.
Well, here, so hold on.
For no fucking apparent reason. And I don't understand how the rankings work because the Sixers have a better record head-to-head against the Magic and the fucking Pacers, but apparently they're in seventh place because of a divisional record. That's how it works. I don't know.
That's kind of stupid.
Yeah, it's all stupid. Like they were in a three-way tie with a team that they've beaten more. They swept the fucking Magic. And I guess because like Cleveland won or lost or something, I don't fucking know. But like here we are. The Sixers are going to get to play Miami for no fucking reason. And probably lose. Who cares? Like it's so the plan is so dumb.
Here,
I fucking hate the plan.
Here's what I'll say: the Eastern Conference makes no sense because you have two teams that aren't even over 40 wins. So they should like this is what they. So this is I think.
They had the fucking they had all of the fucking excitement of the last game of the season without the stupid plan.
Right, but
No one was fighting for a 10 seed. No one was fighting for a 9 seed.
Right.
Everyone was, it's stupid.
Yeah. So that's why I'm saying, like, they should be able to pivot right at the very end of the season and be like, okay, Eastern Conference, we're set 1 through 8. You don't need the play-in game because it's not, you don't have those teams. Now, the Western Conference, there's, you know, New Orleans has 49 wins, Lakers has 47 wins, and then Sacramento Golden State has 46 wins. Like, you can make a case there that the playoffs, that play-in, all four play-in games or teams matter because they're closely bunched together. right? Like it decides
I don't like one game tournament. I do not like them. I do not like one game wildcard baseball tournaments. I do not like play a season to play one game to get into the playoffs. I hate it. Unless it's football, obviously, because it's always one game. It decreases excitement for me. It can be it just turns into like a fluke. I don't think like a one game sample size.
Yeah, it's like the playing games on the NCAA tournament. Like they're so fucking stupid and pointless.
Those are stupid too.
Yeah.
And so is this the term? Have the playoffs started yet? I don't know. Have they has March Madness started
technically,
yet?
Yes. Yeah.
We'll find out in a couple of days.
Also, it's like on at 10 o'clock tonight, the game. And it's like nobody's watching this game.
Yeah. No one's watching it anyway. It's the fucking lamest playoff game in the history of basketball. I mean, both of them. Who wants to watch them? And it's funny because it should be the 8-7 teams, both 8-7 teams. But the Sixers had a fucking Flyers home game tonight. So, like, everyone has to fucking move their schedule around for the NHL.
So, if Philly wins, they're in.
Right? Yeah.
Right?
If they lose, they have to play the winner of the fucking 8-9 games.
Right.
They have two chances to lose.
So then, with that knowledge, Chris, I'm going to ask you, if they win tonight, they play New York.
Mm-hmm.
If they lose and then win the 8 or the 9-10 game or whatever the fuck it is, then they face Boston.
Uh-huh.
So they you'd rather have them face who?
Well, I guess it kind of boils down to do you think the Pacers can beat the Bucks? Because if they played the Knicks and the Pacers to get into the Eastern Conference Finals, you'd probably choose that. But I'm not of that mind. I just want to make it into these quote unquote playoffs and fucking lose to Boston at some point. So get it over with. I don't give a shit.
All right. I mean, to be fair, Giannis is probably not playing in this Pacers series.
Well, I know, but that's because Doc fucked the Sixers and ducked the fucking Sixers.
Wait, what?
Doc threw the fucking end of the season so that he could play the Pacers instead of having to play either the Heat or the Sixers.
Yeah, but now he's going to have to play the Pacers without Giannis, though, for the series.
But
he would have had
to play the Heat or the Sixers without Giannis. Like, he lost, he tanked the end
Yeah, but
of the
either
season.
Way, like, they're probably going to lose his first round fucking series, though.
Maybe. I don't know. Would you rather play the Pacers or the Heat or the Sixers? You play
the
Pacers.
I don't care if I don't have Giannis, I don't want to face anybody. That team's not going to beat anybody else without
Giannis. It's so great that Doc gets another excuse to be a shitty coach. He win or lose. If he wins, he's pulled something magical out of his ass. If he loses, it's because he lost Giannis.
If there was ever a case for someone failing up so much in their entire fucking career, it's Doc.
I heard a great quote about Doc. I think it was on the Race to Ricky Sanchez. They were like, when you hear Doc Rivers say, it's funny, that means you're about to hear the least funny thing you've ever heard in your entire life.
It's so true. It's actually so fucking true.
It killed me. I hate that fucking human being much. Oh, God, he's such a fucking liar. And everyone's just fine with it. Anyway,
are we doing predictions here for this?
Playoffs? So because I have so many Knicks friends, and the Knicks really play the Sixers well, I would rather have them feel the fear of having to play Miami and that whole history. I think the Knicks deserve to be afraid of Miami than to just whoop the Sixers' ass. So I think I just choose Boston. I'm used to losing to them. Slow stakes, and if we won,
that would
feel amazing. Mm. An 8-1, what a great feeling. And if we lose, fuck it. I'm so used to losing to Boston. Yeah. I'd be like, oh, we lost to Boston again?
Yeah, I mean, this season was basically wash anyway without Embiid.
Yeah.
So, all right. What
predictions?
You got any thoughts on the Western Conference?
I think the Suns are going to sneaky be the Heat of the West this year.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking when we talked about
this. I think people are sleeping on the Suns, dude.
Yeah. I mean, they might be starting to come together at the right time, I guess, if that's a thing.
Yeah. I mean, you could say the same thing about the Knicks and the Sixers. They both won 9 and 8 in a row, respectively, even though no one will give the Sixers credit for winning 8 in a row.
And the Warriors, too. The Warriors are 8 and 2.
The NBA, did you know that Maxi and Embiid are the first two play are the first people the Maxi and Embiid this year were the first teammates to each score 50 points twice in a season.
Ever?
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
And yeah, Maxi's not even in a conversation for all NBA. Neither, I mean, obviously neither is Embiid, but it's hilarious that Maxi can't even get like discussed. People are hemming and hawing about fucking LeBron or Halliburton or Steph Curry, but
I mean, that stuff's all fucking rigged anyway. You're going to get the superstars first.
I know it's rigged, and it's funny because they like give these other dumb awards for people so they don't have to be on those lists,
right.
You know?
Right.
Or like third. We gave Wemby Rookie of the Year. We gave Gobert all defensive. We gave Maxi Most Improved Player. So we don't have to put them on fucking all NBA. They get an award.
Clutch Player of the Year. So clutch, bro.
I mean, to be fair, too, there's a lot of really good players in this league. I don't know what Max's stats are this year, but like, I mean, you know, like, could he get third team All NBA or something?
But do you think Maxi Booker over Maxi?
Nah, I think that's more reputation at this. I mean,
exactly. Maybe. That's what I'm saying. It's stupid.
Yeah, but that's so like you know. But could he get third team? Like, is he even like close enough to?
No, I mean, he's just not in the conversation. It's like. And the most improved player, it'll probably go to him, and it should. But like, what a like that's not even sixth man, most improved. Like that's like in the NFL, that's the guy that fucking had a heart attack on the field. You know, like the year before. What does that even mean? Most improved. Way to go, buddy! You were a little bad last year. Now you're pretty good.
All right, not really good. So Phoenix and
Phoenix is my sleeper team in the West, which sounds like is your sleeper team in the West as well.
If you're gonna put money on,
if I'm putting money on it, that's the only team I'm putting money on. If I'm betting, if I'm gambling, if I'm like this is the team I think will make the finals, and I want delicious, I think 10-1 odds on to make the finals. I think that's where they are. Then that's who I take.
Yeah. Right.
From a gambling standpoint, though, that is my Western Conference Finals champion.
So, oh God, this is just, it's all matchups here. Where the fuck is the, why isn't this coming? Right now, fucking DraftKings, NBA Western Conference Finals. It's just, it gives you the matchup between the two fucking teams.
Go to Futures.
I am in Futures. Team Futures.
You're in Futures.
This is bullshit. Oh, here we go. Conference winner. So Phoenix plus.
Also, I don't know if you know that DraftKings is the worst sports book in the entire world.
Yeah.
I got a little into betting the Masters thanks to it doesn't matter. But I kind of got hooked on betting it. I wasn't really watching it. I just like got into it. But like there were so many like fun prop bets and like interesting bets like. People to what hole will get bogeyed or which of this group are going to like have an eagle in today's round. Those were all on fucking FanDuel. DraftKings had like
nothing.
Will Tiger make the top 10? Like, it's like, it's embarrassing. DraftKings is embarrassing. And yet here I go always back.
Maybe we should look at a different one here now coming up. But anyway, that's beside the point. Right now,
I mean, I have to buy stock in fucking
Western Conference winner Phoenix plus 850. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's I was 1,000 the other night. So okay. I guess the money's moved a little bit. Timberwolves, who finished second, or third. Nobody likes the Timberwolves
plus 1,000.
I think rightly so. They're not very good.
I mean, I guess there's something with, you know, they're not really quite tested or playoff experienced enough, maybe. What do you think about Warriors plus 4,000?
I think that's garbage. I'd take the Lakers before I took them. Mm. I'd take the Pelicans before I took them. Mm. And the Pelicans should be good, especially if Brandon Ingram plays. Like, they should have all the pieces. Like, they're so stacked. But they're clumsy. I don't really understand what it is that like doesn't quite. I think it's Zion's the problem personally, but like that's just me. Mm. But isn't there some value at like Nuggets at plus 135? You parlay with that. I mean, that's the obvious favorite, but plus 135 is not still in the plus. Like you go to the East, it's minus 175 for the Celtics. Like they're just the lock, right?
Lock. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to
take. What if you.
kind of
what
a miracle.
What if you did? So let's just say you assume the Celtics are going to make it, right? It would be hard for them to not.
Mm-hmm.
If you just take the Suns and Celtics, that's plus 13. That's almost plus 1,400. Feels okay. Like a pretty good bet.
That feels like a good bet, yeah.
Because who else is it going to be?
I mean, but
who do you like from the East? No one.
No.
Literally no one. No, there's not a good team in the East.
There's not a great team, but I would say Philly and the Knicks are probably like the two highest teams that I would sort of, or the two next teams that I would say, like if anybody could kind of go on a run here.
I took the Knicks at plus, I think plus 1,000 to make the conference finals like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And that's plus 1,200. Like it's not happening.
No, I know. It's not great, but like it, I guess you look at it this way. Like what did the Heat do? Like, was that last year or 2 years ago or whatever they did?
The Heat are the only other team. The Heat are the team that can do the thing that the Heat did last year. And then in the bubble, like the Heat are the team.
Yeah.
None of these other teams are made up that way. Pacers are not that team. Orlando's definitely not that team.
I think the Knicks are somewhat similar to that in the sense of like their sort of defensive and toughness. And then the scoring, have to go on a generational.
I wouldn't want to play. The Sixers can't handle the Knicks because they can't play too physical, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
And that's my fear is it's the physicality. That's why like Boston or Miami and New York would be so fun because Spoelstra is such a cheap motherfucker that he always fucking play. Like he's every game's a fight when you play against Miami.
Yeah.
So we're just gonna have two teams just basically duking it out. It seems pretty fun.
Super fun. It'll be ratings galore.
No one will watch. So who do you like in the East and who do you like in the West?
I feel like this is kind of a Boston Nuggets thing, a repeat maybe here. Although I don't know when the last time we've had that was last year, wasn't it? Yeah. We had the repeat. When the last time we had a repeat of actual finals, maybe since like Warriors Cavs or something, I guess. But, it's the Celtics, and I think maybe if you're going to pick two other people below them, it's the Sixers and the Knicks, who could maybe, could potentially go on a run there. The West, like you said, I like the Phoenix, I think is, you know, sneaky, good, you know, betting odds and a potentially dangerous team there. Like maybe they turn it on. Maybe they don't, though. Like that could be a KD in the playoffs, doesn't.
Be real. It's going to be Nuggets and Celtics again and boring and fucking I'll want to kill myself.
Everybody else would be. The only other team I would sort of root for to try to battle the Nuggets would be the T-Wolves.
Yeah, I mean, I take the Clippers. I take the Mavs. I don't really give a fuck.
I don't understand the Mavs. Like everyone's like, oh, they're like such a dangerous team.
They're so boring to watch. If you watch them play, like it's just Luka complaining and Kyrie like throwing amazing passes.
The Clippers.
They like. I can't remember his name.
The Clippers could be like if Kawhi.
I'll move for the Clippers hardcore. I like the Clippers. I put a bet on them early in the season too.
Yeah.
Like the Clippers are the team I think I would want to win the West.
Hmm.
Okay. Like if I of those teams, I mean, obviously Ant. It's probably L.A. and Minnesota. I don't like any of the other teams. The Thunder, I think, from a value standpoint, at plus 700 makes sense because they're like the youngest team ever. And wouldn't it be like a real ragtag bunch? You know, it'd be like Anthony and Shaq. You know, they would go and get their asses kicked by the Celtics, but it'd be like it was good learning. And SGA's the new superstar, and you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can see that happening, but they can be a tough pill to swallow.
They can go to hell, as far as I'm concerned.
Of course, I'm just talking about. I'm talking from a.
I won't even
stand like
go down that road, Chris, with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have to wrap this up pretty quickly because we get in trouble now if we're from electromagnetic radio. Unless you guys want to listen to 15 minutes of fart sound, we now have to keep this a tidy 60, or else our station.
I mean,
manager,
I'll just do some creative editing or something.
OJ Simpson died. You have 2 minutes. Tell me what you think.
I love how all these conspiracy theories have come back. after he dies and everybody, okay, first of all, there was a lot of good articles written. I sent you one from David Aldridge in The Athletic.
I'm
you
sure
read
you're
it.
Right.
There was another one, I think Sam Farmer in the LA Times. They were not nice to him. Right. And there was another one too. I think, I can't remember what the other one was too. It was a really good one though, but basically it showed like who he really was as a person, even before he was like famous and before he killed his wife. And we've talked about other people died and they, you know, they gave a fair, balanced sort of, mm-hmm. you know, recap of their lives or whatever. And I really think this one really stood out to me more than anyone else. And I think that's sort of the reckoning of where we're at with dealing with people like this, who are literally like pieces of shits.
So
OJ was, and like, there were stories about him just being a piece of shit before he was even like a broadcaster and gotten to TV and like doing commercials and stuff.
So I'd say this, I haven't read anything. I heard Stephen A, he probably gave the most balanced thing, which was disgusting. Great athlete, greatest running back, blah, 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 but problematic. You know, like I was like, Grad, you're doing this. You're doing the Bob Knight for OJ. But I just stumbled upon completely on my own. It wasn't a link. It wasn't anything. But I found this letter that was sent as evidence that Nicole Brown Simpson had written to OJ prior to getting murdered. That basically was like, OJ, here's the problems with our relationship. And it was like talking about how he would beat her,
yep.
how he would ignore her, mm-hmm. how he would call her fat, mm-hmm. how he like hit her when she was pregnant, like all the women she fought, all the women he fucked. Like it was just a letter that no one should have ever seen but OJ.
Mm.
And I was like, this guy was a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And this was his like third wife or some shit like that. Like he was a nightmare.
He was a nightmare.
And if you need any more evidence than that, listen to the most recent This American Life. They just replayed the episode where the guy that was on the O.J. Simpson reality TV show Juiced talks about like that. And they do a really good job of showing like the real O.J. Simpson, like who he acted like he was and who he really was.
Yeah, I think there's a Slate podcast, too. I haven't listened to it, but I know the writer.
Yeah, I think you're right.
They've done one, two, kind of chronicling him and whatever stuff. It was supposed to be good. The other thing I want to say about that was also apparently I read somewhere, I didn't listen to it, but apparently Bill Simmons got some favorable podcast critiquing of OJ. Gave sort of an overview of his life and career. That was actually people thought he did a good job with it. Which I was pleasantly surprised. But there was two conspiracy theories that have like resurfaced now.
What are they?
One is that, you know, so everybody's like, no, OJ is actually innocent. Or there's still a big faction of OJ is innocent people, even though the entire jury was like, no, we all agreed he was guilty, but we just wanted to get him off to stick it to the man. But
and also like, I don't think we could have handled another riot. Like he had to be innocent. Because there was just going to be more riots.
Probably. Okay. Yeah, probably. Yeah, I mean, Rodney King was like, 3 years before
that? I
think
that jury did something for the greater good of the temperature of, you know.
Yeah, right.
What would have happened if he would have been found guilty.
So somehow these conspiracy theories have found their way back into somewhat of the mainstream, I guess, of this OJ discussion. And one of them, and people are like adamant that these, like, you know, these are, you know, why are whatever they're bringing them up for, but like it's, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it's, one is his son did it. And he was just,
oh, I've heard
that. Have you? I've never heard this before, actually. So yeah, his son did it, but he's covering.
I think OJ put that out.
Oh, did he?
Like way back in the day. Yeah. That was like OJ's people, like trying to like deflect. And like, I think it was his team that or he himself, who kind of leaked that idea.
Yeah, and then he was sort of like taking the fall for his son, blah, 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 which I don't buy at all, because I don't think OJ's that kind of person, that he would do that for his
child. No, OJ, no way. Yeah. And also, like, and OJ's fucking DNA was all over the crime scene.
Right.
We just didn't believe in DNA then.
Well, there was also the racist cop, Furman guy, who, like, who's hugely discredited, which kind of tainted some of that evidence that they found and whatnot too.
Def Furman, I think they was his nickname.
All right. So the second conspiracy theory is he actually?
You gotta hurry, man. It's gotta be 10 seconds long.
He was connected to the mob, or he knew associates who were connected to the mob, and he paid the mob to kill her. And I was like, you know what? That's actually not that, like, he didn't actually do it, but he was still like guilty of like you know, trying to kill his wife.
Based on Nicole's letters,
I know.
Sounded like he was a pretty violent human being.
Absolutely, he was.
Who was super jealous, and he just happened to be like, I caught this guy return. Like, this is, Ron Goldman didn't even like have a relationship with her. I mean, there was maybe he said, she said, but
right. He was returning his sunglasses, wasn't he?
He'd only known her for like 2 weeks. Yeah, he was returning her glasses from a restaurant. Probably because she'd stayed there too fucking long. Jabbing and jabbing and talking.
Yes.
Taking up the seats.
Yes. We did it.
Thank you.
Way to bring it full circle. Perfect.
Good night, everyone.
All right.
We'll see you next week.